53102 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@todayfm.com. Get rid of that there. As always, you can listen back to the programme at todayfm.com, or if you want to listen to specific items or interviews, you can do so via podcasts. So, for example, we're putting all of our hour with Tommy Tiernan in the Sugar Club up as a podcast from yesterday. Also, our I Saved Someone's Life panel. We spoke to Emmett, Marie, Mark and Aaron, all of whom saved lives. We spoke to Jason Byrne earlier in the week and Bette Midler. They're up there as well. And loads more stuff from the last couple of weeks up there as podcasts if you want to download them. Now, Pretty Honest is the straight talking beauty companion by Sally Hughes. And Sally is the beauty editor for The Guardian, and she's on the line now. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
So you were stuck in traffic?
I was. There was a road closure. I'm so sorry.
Right. And did you do your makeup in the back of the cab?
No, but I've done it many, many times.
And is that a no-no or a yes-yes?
I think it's perfectly fine. I'm not wearing any makeup today, but normally I would do it on the train or in the car. No problem.
None at all?
No, as long as... what, today? No, yeah. I'm not wearing anything at all.
Right. Because you know when some women say, oh no, I don't have natural look, no makeup, and they have something on, so nothing.
I don't mind. Some days I've got a bit, some days I've got a lot, some days I've got none at all. Today I'm at home all day and my kids are at school, so I am not wearing any. But I mix it up. It's meant to be fun. You shouldn't feel obliged to wear it.
Yeah, and you sort of, like, I flicked through the book last night. It wasn't what I was expecting, because a lot of the beauty books you get are sort of flimsy enough things with loads of photographs and not much content. But this, you know, there's a lot of content in this. There's a lot of reading in it. And you sort of, you have your theories about various things.
Well, I'm glad you thought that. It was meant to be different from other beauty books. I'm a writer, so, and I'm not a model. I don't think anybody wants to see hundreds of pictures of my face. So we kept those down to a bare minimum. And I had a lot to say because I felt like there hadn't been a beauty book that was about real life. They're all kind of coffee table book, glossy picture affairs that you're meant to copy. And I thought, actually, there's quite a lot of stuff in real life that women want to know, like how they might look nice after chemotherapy, or how they can get ready in 10 minutes flat, or what men like, or how to look good when you've just had a baby and you might feel a bit grotty. All of those things nobody talks about, so I wanted to get those across.
Now, where do we start with one of those? Well, let's start, because I'm a man, so I just heard...
Really?
thank you for noticing. So you do have a chapter, which I've read, What Do Men Want?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've been hearing for, you know, as long as I can remember, that women don't dress up or put makeup on for men. They do it for themselves and maybe for other women.
Yes, I think that's very true. The chapter What Men Want is basically what it boils down to, is to be yourself. Because if you tell a lie about your personal grooming to a man that you meet, you're not going to be able to keep it up. So if you pretend that you're a natural face beauty that just sort of tumbles out of bed and out for breakfast, and in fact you're somebody who likes a face full of makeup, you're not going to be able to keep that up, and he's going to end up sitting around waiting for 3 hours for you to get ready and being really fed up. So I think the key with meeting somebody new with men is to just be upfront. You know, are you a high maintenance kind of girl, or are you a low maintenance kind of girl? Be honest, because you'll never be able to keep it up.
There's that brilliant scene in Bridesmaids, isn't it, with Kristen Wiig? You know, she's she's in bed with your man.
Yes,
Don
yes,
Draper,
yes, whatever, yes.
Yeah, and she wakes up before him, goes in and does all the stuff. Then goes back in, pretends to be asleep,
and casually lays herself out on the bed. Exactly. I think you've got to be honest about these things. Linda McCartney said that on her first date with Paul McCartney, she wore absolutely no makeup, so he never expected it in the future, which I thought was quite an astute thing to do.
And the thing is that, and this is sort of how I'd imagine, and I don't pay full attention, but a cursory attention to ads for various products on the telly. And do they sell this image of, you know, if you use this product, you look like Cheryl Cole, or you look like whoever, Angelina Jolie? Is that what the cosmetic companies want to do?
Well, of course, they're intimating at that you could have this glamorous life and you could look like them if you use this product, which is obviously nonsense. But I do think that it's slightly patronising too, because I speak to thousands of women every year, readers, women on my website forum, women on Twitter and so on. And I know for a fact that the vast majority of women don't long to look like someone else. They don't long to have someone else's face or to be a model or to be an actress. They want to look like themselves at their best. They will usually say to me something like, you know, oh, I really liked the way I looked when I went to that wedding a couple of years ago, or I really liked how I looked when my husband and I booked a babysitter and went out for dinner last year.
Yeah.
You know, they want to look like themselves after a good night's sleep when they're a bit scrubbed up and they feel really nice. They don't long to be Katie Price or whatever it is. I don't think women are that stupid.
And what, from your vast experience, what's the thing that women most get wrong?
Oh, that's a good question. I think most often women are wearing the wrong colour foundation. I think that that's a very common one. And the other thing that women do a lot that drives me round the bend, because it causes them all sorts of problems, is they use face wipes to clean their skin at night.
What does that do?
Well, if you imagine always washing your clothes in Febreze, you get the idea. You know, it's not a proper clean. It's a, you know, it's what my grandmother would call a horse bath.
Oh.
you're just sort of moving dirt around your face and taking up a bit of makeup. But if you cleanse your face properly after a wipe, you'll see there's still loads of rubbish on your face. It's absolutely not the correct way to cleanse. And good cleansing is the key to everything. If you cleanse your skin properly with a flannel and a cream cleanser, so rubbing a cream cleanser into your dry face, removing it with a hot flannel, do that every night for a week. I guarantee all of your listeners, their skin will look better at the end of the week. I guarantee it.
Brilliant. And the other thing I like about the book is that it's you with everybody, all the women of the world, against the cosmetic industry in a way. It's, you know, because what you say, things like, you know, say somebody like Clinique would tell you that you have to use all Clinique products, when you say, no, you don't. Clinique might have a good, you know, scrub or something like that, but their moisturiser, you might be able to get an equally good one for cheaper from somebody else.
Well, I love this industry. I'm a part of it. And, you know, Clinique's a brilliant brand. There are loads of brilliant brands. I have lots of problems with the industry, but on the whole, I love it. But it's about educating yourself and making wise decisions. Absolutely. If you are a customer and you go into a department store and a woman on a counter says, you know what, you may want to buy that moisturiser, but also I'm afraid you need the toner, the cleanser, the eye cream, or else it doesn't work, because this is a system designed to work together. Yeah. That's such nonsense. If a product is good enough, it can stand on its own 2 feet. You don't need another 5 things in the range. And I always think of skincare a bit like hi-fi.
Right,
equipment,
yeah, yes.
In that, you know, MIDI
exactly.
MIDI hi-fis might be convenient and neat and you can get them in the one place, but they're never as good as the separates. So
yes.
Shop around. Everyone is good at a specific thing, so you can buy the best from different brands.
You're speaking my language now, Sally. Yeah. Okay, so we said you were coming on, and we asked our listeners for specific questions. So Tracy was on to us. She said, I'm in my early 30s. I have oily skin and I like medium to full coverage foundation. Mm-hmm. I want a long-wearing foundation that doesn't need to be constantly touched up to keep shine at bay, but I don't want it to settle into fine lines either. The problem is that most foundations have SPF, which causes flashback or a ghostly white face in photos taken with a flash. My word. Can Sally recommend a natural-looking, long-wearing foundation that looks good in flash photography? Does that, all that makes sense to you, Sally?
It does. it makes complete sense to me. I know exactly what she's saying. It's not strictly accurate, though, because not all SPFs are created equal. So typically, an SPF with Misha in it, which is what's known as a physical sunblock, will cause that flashback she's talking about. Nowadays, lots of chemical sunblocks don't cause flashback at all. So I work a lot with brides, and I can certainly use, so obviously you're thinking about photography quite carefully, I can certainly use Armani Maestro, YSL Fusion Ink, I can use Bobbi Brown Longwear. All of those do have an SPF in, which is important, but they don't have flashback. Because
What's that active ingredient you said, Misha?
Misha, which is zinc.
How do you spell that?
MICA, so okay. or zinc. So they're just physical minerals that they use in sunblocks to deflect the light. But what happens is they do cause flashback. But none of those foundations I mentioned do that. I promise.
You poor things. I was doing a photo shoot the other day. There was three lads and one lady. And that the poor lady was in makeup for 2 hours or something. And we just rocked up. No hair, makeup. And that was fine.
I know, but you look boring compared to us.
Oh, thank you very much.
I look male. But men don't have the opportunity to express themselves in the same way as women. It's less fun to me. I wouldn't want to be you in a million years.
Yeah, well, reading your book, I'm delighted I'm male. Thank you very much. There's another thing here in the book about, and we've covered it here on the show, when women hit a certain age or have a certain number of children, they feel the need to cut all their hair off.
Well, yeah, I hear that a lot. I hear people say, oh, well, you know, she shouldn't have that long hair now, she's older. How rude. I think have the hair you want, and very often anyway, because sort of shoulder-length hair can look more youthful on the right person than short hair does. It's a question of what suits you. I don't like this idea that you get to a certain age, you have to chop all your hair off and go and be invisible in the corner. It makes me really cross.
So there's no such thing as age-appropriate hair, then?
You know, no.
Like if you're a man and you're over 30, 35, you shouldn't be wearing sort of cargo pants with pockets in the side, I would say, maybe, you know.
Over 30, you say?
Yeah, well, unless you're on an expedition somewhere. You
know. Bear Grylls or something.
Yes, exactly.
I wouldn't quite agree with that. Okay. I think with hair, yes, I mean, there are certain kind of wacky young hairstyles that I wouldn't try. I'm 39 and I wouldn't. But on the whole length, my good. I mean, some people look better with longer hair. Some people look better with bobbed or short. Do what's right for you.
Question for Sally. I have dry skin, but when I wear foundation, it slides off my nose, making it shiny. The lads are all having a good old laugh at this. I'm sorry, but I know these are real concerns. I wear primer under my foundation, but it doesn't help. So the foundation slides off her nose.
So she's saying she has dry skin, which makes me think she's probably using quite a rich moisturiser for dry skin. But it sounds to me as though she's possibly combination, which means that she's dry everywhere else but has an oily T-zone, an oily nose. Yeah. So that's what may be happening, in which case she could do one of two things. She could either use a moisturiser for more combination skin, or she could use her rich moisturiser everywhere else and put something much lighter on her nose.
Right.
It's also important that she lets her primer set for about a minute before she puts her makeup on, because that really helps grip.
Can you ask Sally what, in her opinion, is the best eye cream on the market for under €30? So that's about £25.
Yes, there is an absolutely...
For the 40-plus age group, sorry.
There is a really, really good one by La Roche-Posay, which has retinol in it. The name escapes me temporarily, but it says it's the retinol eye cream, and in euros I think it's probably about €24, that would be my guess, based on the pound price. But you can buy it in your local chemist. La Roche-Posay, it's in a white and blue box, and it's got retinol in it. It's excellent.
You make a very good point that nobody else sees us the way we see ourselves. So we look in the mirror and we home in on the blemish just under our right nostril, and that's all we can see, whereas nobody else sees that, really.
We look at ourselves far too harshly. The best that can happen in real life is people glance in your direction, think, oh, she looks nice, and then go about their day and think about their own stuff. At worst, they ignore you altogether. People simply don't look at your face and scrutinise your skin. Most women I meet, I would say 90% of them over 40, say to me, oh, my pores are really visible, what can I do about them? And I would say of those women, 5% of them genuinely have a pore problem. The rest of them are just looking in a magnifying mirror and despairing that their pores are enlarging, which is totally normal as you age. Nobody is staring at your pores. I guarantee nobody is staring at your pores.
And you cover, like, it's a Bible. You know, it's a reference book. It's not in any way flimsy or or frippery, as you say, the lovely word frippery. But the girls are fascinated because, you know, there's Niamh and Emer and Pam and Siobhan, and Niamh was flicking through the book yesterday, and the dilemma about telling somebody if they have a stain of a day, whether you do or you don't.
It's a kindness. You've got to tell people all of those things. If somebody has some lamb between the teeth, you need to tell them.
Right.
If somebody has a mark on their face, a mark on their clothes that's an embarrassing one, anything like that, the great kindness is to tell them discreetly. And women know you can say this stuff very discreetly, a little nod. You know, you might want to check your teeth, you might want to check your, you know, a smudged mascara or whatever. It's a kindness, because otherwise, a couple of hours later, you nip to the ladies, you see yourself in the mirror and you think, God, I've been talking all that time and nobody told me I had a huge mark on me. Yeah. So it's absolutely the right thing to do, but kindly.
You also mentioned the walk of shame.
Yes, well, the walk of shame, I hear that expression quite a lot. I prefer the stride of pride, but nonetheless... yes, I mentioned things you can take out on a date if you're likely to sleep over at a boyfriend's house or whatever. Things you can take with you, because I have been at boyfriends' houses and found that they have nothing. You know, they have absolutely nothing. They've got disgusting men's deodorant and so on. So it's a little survival kit of what you can take with you to make you look half decent in the morning so you can go out for breakfast without sort of covering your face and running home.
Right. So, but are you sort of, you know, hexing it by preparing? You know what I mean?
Well, no, it's a tiny little bag. It's easy right, to take out. So yeah. If your plans change, it's not too mortifying. It's not like you're taking a suitcase with you.
I'm moving in, love. It's only our first date. What would be a good concealer? 32 combination skin, bags under eyes, redness and broken capillaries.
Okay, so the two concealers I love the most in the world are Clarins Instant Concealer, which is amazing. That goes under your eyes and it's the best under eye concealer I've ever used in my life, particularly good for over 30s because it's very moisturising but not greasy. It's very kind of cushiony on the skin. It's fantastic. If you have very Celtic skin like me, I'm Welsh, you'd be a number one. Then the other concealer I use a lot is NARS Radiant Concealer, Creamy Concealer, which covers everything. Nothing gets past that sucker. You can cover any broken vein, any spot, anything whatsoever. It's much heavier than the Clarins, so between those two, you are always covered.
You're impressive, Sally.
Thank you.
Encyclopedic. Can you ask Sally about long-term hair removal for men? My husband has hair everywhere, and while it doesn't bother me, he's so self-conscious about it, particularly on his back. He's mid-30s, thanks.
Yes, so there are lots of options there. I find waxing not very effective for men just because it grows back too fast for them. The most permanent way he could do easily is via IPL. So IPL is intense pulse light, and what it does is it works on contrast in colour. So it only works on dark hair, pale skin, or black hair, olive skin. It doesn't work on any white hair, but the technology works on contrast. So if he fits the bill there, he can have that done. It's relatively painless. He probably will need about 5 sessions. It's not cheap, but it's, you only need topping up then after that about once a year.
Yeah, he's sort of married. it's not that you give up on yourself when you're married, but you know.
I don't mind it myself. I don't mind a bit of a hair on a man. That's fine for me.
It's fine for you, okay. Challenge accepted. As a wipe user, we'll try cleanser flannel challenge.
So yes.
She's going to get back onto us. And we let you go now, but one last thing. Jimmy the barber's on. Best thing for skincare is to drink 5 cups of green tea every day, he says.
It tastes like fish, though, green tea. I can't get into it. I've tried so hard, but it tastes like fish to me.
Here's the thing. I gave up sugar last year, and my skin has improved no end.
Oh, God. Sugar is so influential on the condition of your skin. Yes. I find that I've got very dry skin, so I never get spots. Christmas, I get spots the only time that year because I've just been eating Quality Street for weeks.
Right.
Sugar definitely has a negative effect on your skin. It can cause breakouts, so if you're acne prone, you should really watch your sugar intake. And also there's various really impressive studies that say that it breaks down the fibres, the anti-aging fibres in your skin, like elastin and collagen.
Right. There you go. So it didn't happen by accident.
Yeah, I'm not a health freak at all, but sugar definitely has an effect.
It was sort of a side effect. I just noticed it. So anyway, pretty honest, and you know that's fitting after listening to Sally Hughes, the Straight Talking Beauty Companion, and Caitlin Moran says it's on my face. It's because Sally recommended it. If it's on my face, it's because Sally recommended it. So it's there, and it's a Bible. It's a reference book, and it's in shops now. Sally Hughes, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Good luck. See you. Bye now.